it happen, amen. You know, everybody who knows me and been around me a while know that I'm an advocate of being on time, because I look at being late as a sign of not being a person of integrity. Because if I tell you I'm gonna be somewhere at 9 o'clock, if I come at 9:05, I lied to you. Come on now, somebody. So that means that if I'm supposed to be on my job at 9 and I show up at 9:10 without calling or without making arrangements, or if it's a pattern, then I'm really in sin because I lied. Now, from what I understand, the word says liars. Look at that. I know it's tight, but it's right this morning already. I'm already dropping. So I'm getting ready to drop some stuff on you this morning. While you're still standing, I want you to go to your word. We're getting ready to pray or whatnot. But man, that's some of the things that you need to work on. Amen. In 2017, make a commitment of being on time. Amen. Being on time. Some of y'all showed up to dates late and you missed an opportunity. Amen. Yeah. Some of you say, well, I'm just late nature. Well, you need to fix that. Amen. And then you complain when God laid on your blessing. It's going to be tight in here this morning. Amen. Now, we're getting ready to have some fun. Amen. If I will get my guys to go ahead and move my table, we're getting ready to rock. Let's get ready to pray. Come on, let's welcome all of our first-time guests. Man, I just feel so relaxed this morning. I feel pretty good this morning. How y'all feel this morning? Y'all feel good this morning? All right. Look, this is my last long sleeve joint this summer. I may wear some little thin shirts or something like that, but I'm going T-shirts. I need to go get me a fresh pair of J's or something. Amen. Amen. We're getting ready to relax the dress code because it's getting ready. Yesterday it got up to 90-something degrees. Amen. It got hot, and so we want to make sure, because we always packed in here, so we want to make sure that it's okay, man. It's not about the clothes, it's about the souls, amen. So you know, feel free to wear some jeans and stuff like that, but you know, make sure you keep it holy, amen. Amen. So the ministry, the dream team, you'll begin to email tomorrow about the colors and stuff like that. So amen, let's jump right into the word. Let's welcome our online audience. Do you realize that our broadcast last week reached about 16,000 people, amen? And so people are watching us across the world, amen? And we hope that you're blessed by something in the word today. Let's jump in the word. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the sweet spirit that's in this place, Father God. Thank you for the spirit of laughter. Thank you for the spirit of joy that's in this place, Father God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would help prepare the hearts of your people, God, that you would help me preach. Endow me with an anointing that makes preaching easy, Father God. I pray right now, Father God, that the seed, which is the word, Father, that it would go forth, Father, and it would germinate and it would take root in somebody's heart today, God. I pray, Father, that every person that hears something in this message, Father God, that it would have a profound impact on them, Father, existentially and spiritually and emotionally. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for even those who are listening across the world, Father God. The word has no limits. It has no bounds. So, Father God, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life, God. And I pray, God, that the word will give life to every dead situation, Father God. I thank you for correction. I thank you for reproof. I thank you for doctrine. I thank you for instruction this morning, Father God. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that every distraction has to go, Father God. I thank you right now, Father. I bind every ill text message, Father God, and every phone call, God, that may interrupt this service, Father God, and every baby crying, Father God. But I pray in the name of Jesus for a steady stream of the anointing this morning, God. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor this morning, God. It is in the matchless name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Let's give God a hand and clap of praise. Man, let's get ready to jump into the word of God. Let's go to Luke 8 and 11. Last week, I started a series. I dropped some stuff on you, and I'm going to drop some stuff on you today, too. I need you to listen carefully. In fact, you know, make sure you take good notes. It's better to have a long pencil than a short memory. So I want you to make sure that you take plenty of notes. The Bible says in Luke 8 and 11, it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from the heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. If you're not too mean or stuck up, I want you to high five three people and tell them, I'm growing somewhere. It's imperative, man, that you're here every Sunday. If not, you make sure you catch the broadcast, because, man, I'm in something, and when I'm on something, I'm on something. And years ago, I did a series called Ready, Set, Grow, and it allowed me the liberty to jump around. But, man, this is a little bit different. I'm a little bit more strategic in my teaching or what have you. And what I really want to talk about over the next couple of weeks, man, that I believe that will be, it will be food to your soul, man. I really want to talk about a lot of the symbolism that exists in the Bible. In fact, throughout the Bible, we find that God used symbolism of trees and plants and shrubs. In fact, he began with a garden. He began with a tree in the garden of knowledge of good and evil. And but I told you last week, he also ended with a tree of life, that when every person partook from its fruit, that they would be given life. So God would often use symbolism of plants and trees in order to articulate profound truths. There's a couple of truths that I articulated in the last service in this particular parable that I need to actually reiterate on in this service. First of all, I gave you a definition of a parable, and a parable is this: a parable is an extended metaphor or a symbol, a simile frequently becoming a brief narrative. This is an extended metaphor or simile frequently becoming a brief narrative, generally used in biblical times for didactic purposes, for teaching purposes. And I gave you the different types of parables, you know, the parabolic genere, the parabolic corpus, and that, all different types of parables that Jesus used in the Bible, and they were all effective. It was depending on the crowd that he spoke to. It was depending on the intellectual acumen of those he spoke to. So he used various mechanisms or various methods by which to articulate and convey his message. And so it's important that you really get the meaning of his parables. We learned last week that here it in this particular text, we found out that the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And we found out that he was talking about various soils. And we found out that the soil, it is indicative, or it represents your heart. It represents your what? I just need to see if you're listening, amen. Let's see if you're on Facebook. The soul represents your heart, and I find it extremely important, and it's extremely relevant to really bring out the point that it's amazing that he used something like dirt to be indicative of your heart. May I suggest to you in this particular crowded church that all of us, regardless of how holy you think you are, without Jesus, there's none righteous. In fact, the word says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. Amen. And so this is why, man, you got to be careful of lifting up yourself. And I understand that you may be holy and you grew up in church and you're righteous and everything, but there's a little part of us that we're still struggling on. Okay, y'all not going to talk to me this morning. Amen. See, he used this amazing metaphor using dirt as the heart, and all of us got a little dirt in our heart. This is why you got to be careful of self-aggrandizement. In other words, self-promotion. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let other folks speak well of you. Amen. You don't have to brag on yourself. Let other folk talk about how good you are. Amen. Woo, y'all just missed that. That was for free. The next one gonna cost you something. We understood also in the last service that there's power in the seed. In fact, man, I gave you some pregnant principles about the seed and how really the seed never loses its muster. And so many times we say that I have not received the word because the word is the seed, but you have to understand that your growth is not relegated to the power of the seed, because the seed is always going to be powerful. It depends on the type of soil that it's planted in. Which means that sometimes you can come to church and there's some stuff on your mind and in your heart that can prevent you from growing, and that can prevent you from receiving the word. Okay, I'm just reviewing, amen. The seed never loses its mustard, never loses its power. And we found out last week that whatever you allow to get planted reproduces itself. Because a seed reproduces after its own kind. And I told you, this is why you got to be careful of what you allow in your spirit, what you allow in your ear gate and your eye gate, amen. Because regardless of how strong you think you are, some things can have an impact on us, amen. Oh my God, I'm preaching to somebody already, amen. There's certain things that can hinder your seed from growing. Man, I'm gonna deal with some stuff today, and I know I'm gonna hit every door, and if you don't have a doorbell, amen, I'm gonna knock on it, amen. And if your screen door is open, I'm gonna go down to the window and knock. So I'm knocking on every house today, amen. So don't just take this word that I'm giving you today and apply it to somebody else. I need you to listen critically for some principles that may be able to help you, amen. Now there's certain things that can hinder your seed from growing, and I have all types of seed here, and we're gonna talk about these seeds in a minute, and we're gonna have some fun on this Sunday, and I won't be before you long. I'm gonna try not to keep you 3 hours like the Baptist church, amen. And there's no knock on the Baptist church there for all the Baptist preachers who watching, amen. But we're just not gonna be in church all day, amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in verse 12, those beside the road are those who have heard. Stop right there. See, understand, I picked up something in the text. Now here it is. You know that as you matriculated through Sunday school, that there are four different types of people that he's talking about here. All these souls represents people. Well, first thing that he, before I can even get into that, he says there are those who beside the road who have heard, which means that all of the people or all of the souls had the same opportunity to receive the same news and all received the same seed. Okay. What are you getting at, Pastor Rich? Make it rich. Sometimes it's us that separates us. We become accustomed or so accustomed to blaming other folk for things that are going wrong in our life that we don't often look introspectively at the stuff we've done. We have the Adam and Eve syndrome. Adam, what have you done? No, it was the woman you gave me. Eve, what have you done? It was the snake that was in the garden. Well, we have squandered more opportunities than we realize yet. Many of us have the same opportunity as the person that you're sitting next to. Do you realize that more blessings have been lost through logic than have been stolen by Lucifer? God, yeah. In other words, there are those in here and those listening to me right now who have lost blessings because you are overthinker.
Yes, God.
You don't have to say man. If you can't say amen, say ouch, amen. Overanalyzing. And even there are those who over-spiritualize everything. Come on now, somebody. Yeah. The other half of us, many times we avoid opportunity because of opposition. It was Thomas Edison who said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. We want sweatless victories, and there are those out there who teach it, but everything in my Bible shows that sometimes you got to put your hand to the plow. Yeah. See, before Adam and Eve sinned, it would have been sweatless, but there's some things that you got to work for. Oh, my God, it's going to be tight today. Amen. Additionally, I found out that many opportunities that we've all been presented are lost because we said the wrong things. Right. New opportunities are often closed by open mouths. Yeah. In this particular parable, let me get to the crux of the message today. In this particular parable, it's represented by four soils. Four proverbial individuals are represented by four different soils. Four kinds of people are represented by the four soils. The first group consists of, and I'm only going to get to two because I'm getting ready to unpack this thing. The first group are those who hear but do not believe at all. They hear but they do not believe at all. Can I break it down? Yeah. See, these are the individuals who have seed available, but allow outside influences to cause their seed not to grow. Yes. How do you know, Pastor? Because the word says, well, why did they hear and not believe? Because the Bible says, because of the work of the devil. Yes. Well, what are you saying, Pastor? In other words, there was nothing wrong with the soil. There was plenty of sunlight, but because of an outside influence, it caused them not to receive a harvest on the seed that was planted. Yes. Just because the devil comes doesn't mean that you gotta open the door. Amen. See, it's kind of like me. How many of y'all don't like folk showing up to your house unannounced? Right. In fact, my door got a glass in it, and you knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and you didn't call. I'm coming right up to the door. Pastor, don't act like you don't see me here. Because just because somebody knocked doesn't mean that you have to open the door. Amen. See, I love this because just because somebody says something don't mean you have to always respond. See, I just had to learn this within the last year, and you don't always have to react. Come on now, somebody. See, and then when you do respond, never respond like they think you're going to respond. In other words, don't dumb it down onto that level. Bring them into a territory in which they have never experienced. Yes. So I'm not of the weak persuasion that says don't fight back. Yeah. Because I grew up in the old school, man. We used to play dozen. I used to talk about your mama so bad that you'd be ready to fight. That's just how we grew up. When we, you know, we fought when folk got mad. We had to pull out guns and stuff like that. And, you know, we grew up boxing and just all these other types of things that we used to do or whatnot. And so now, because of social media, everything is magnified. And so you got people who are bullies that come on social media that bully others, bully celebrities and other folk in the spotlight. And what they found out, and I just saw in the news last night, that this particular sheriff or whatnot, this guy, I guess he had made some internet threats and they're looking for him. What I found is that I don't always have to clap back at you in a way that you think I'm going to clap back at you. So if you come online and you slander me, I'm not going to say nothing back to you. I'm going to sue you. So much money you got. Let's keep going. Stop letting people talk you out of your blessed place. These outside influences. Stop letting people talk you out of your blessing. I read the Kevin Hart book, and in his book, man, it was a really good book. He was talking about how, you know, at the beginning of his career, he was trying to find himself. He had failed a whole lot, and he landed at this particular shoe store, and he was really good at it, you know, because one, he had the gift of the gab, he had the personality, he was funny and stuff like that. Then he began to study and learn about the shoes and stuff like that. And then after he had worked there for a while, because he had a dream, and this is amazing, this is a principle right here. His dream was to become a sales rep for Nike. But it's amazing now that he's on this level, now Nike pursued him. And so whenever you open your Runtastic app, you hear Kevin Hart's voice. So he didn't become a sales rep. He became basically a brand consultant for them. Amen? But so he was funny, and all his coworkers said, hey, Kev, you should try stand-up comedy. There's a club down the street. Man, you ought to try stand-up comedy. He said, I don't know about that. I don't know. I guess I'll give it a shot. And so he gave it a shot. And man, the dude, you know, even in his infancy and at the beginning of his career, he began to win these amateur nights. In fact, the book said that he had won 6 amateur nights in a row. 6 amateur nights in a row. And then all of a sudden, he said, you know what? He didn't know his purpose at first. Then he realized that, you know what? This comedy thing is something I need to be doing. I can be doing this. And keep in mind, now he was moving up the ladder at the shoe store. His dream was to become a manager and then a regional director and then also a sales rep for Nike. And then all of a sudden, his day job conflicted with his night gigs. So he had to make a decision to step outside of the 9 to 5 and depend on working his passion. I'm preaching to somebody right now, and I ain't even got to my revelation yet. And so remember the same people who encouraged him, Mr. Marshall, the same people who encouraged him to step out and say, you should be doing comedy. Now he was at the crossroads where he had to quit his job and pursue comedy full time. Right. And so he went back to those same people, and he said, you know what? I'm thinking about quitting my job and doing comedy full time. And the same people who wanted him to step out didn't want him to step up. And what I got from that is that it's not that people around you don't love you. They love you as you are. So you play a role in their life that's comfortable, and they think that it's their job to keep you humble and keep you in the place that you're in. But as soon as your role changes, you may not get the support from even the folk who are closest to you, because your change makes them uncomfortable. Oh my God, what are you saying, Pastor? He couldn't allow the outside influences to stop him. I mean, even the book was so good, he even talked about how he went to this particular club manager, and everybody seemed like was a rite of passage, and he sat down with the guy after the set. The guy told him, I don't think comedy for you. You can't allow outside influences to hinder you, amen? Also, you got to understand, let me get back to my lesson or whatnot, because there's so much revelation that I got from the book. But also understand there's both positive and negative seed. Yeah. And I dealt with that a little bit last week. You shouldn't allow all seed to get planted in your life. Yeah, right. Okay, let me make it rich. There's some folk you don't fool with because someone else's credibility caused you to destroy the credibility for someone else. Make it rich, Pastor. The information they gave you impacted how you perceive somebody else. So you didn't even know them, but because what somebody else told you about them, it shaped your perception and it shaped your view of them. What you heard impacted what you believe. Yes. Come on, make it rich, Pastor. I call it the playground syndrome, amen. I don't want you to play with them because I don't play with them. Yes. See, you got to be careful. Understand that the most powerful tool of the enemy is suggestion. Yes. He doesn't get you to do anything, but he makes a suggestion to you. If I was you, I'd cuss them out. And what's interesting is he don't always come to you spiritually. He'll come to you through one of your friends that's in the flesh. Shoot, bruh. Shoot, fine as shit, man. I smashed that dog. And fellas, we ain't the only one. Girls do it too.
Yeah.
All I heard was that Barry Wright voice. Oh, it sure do. Suggestion. Shoot, if I was you, I'd take a little bit of that money. You know how this company makes $2 million? I mean, well, they ain't gonna miss a couple thousand dollars. Okay, you don't have access to money. See, I'm dealing with morality and integrity. All these supplies, good. I'm just gonna make the copies at work. But you're using somebody's ink, somebody's paper clips, somebody's staples, somebody's copy paper. They make all this. They ain't gonna miss this case of paper. Half the church convicted right now. Amen. Take that place back, their paper clips. See, we often don't look at the little things as not being integrity, but understand that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It may be little things that's blocking you from your blessings and little influences that keep you from believing wholeheartedly. So you got to be careful. Amen. You got to be careful. The most powerful tool of the enemy is suggestion. He doesn't use might to get you to do anything. He uses manipulation. This is why I can't stand manipulators. I can't stand listening to folk who even manipulate the word of God. So I don't watch much TBN and Word Network or whatnot, because the pressure to manipulate the word of God to get you to move to do certain things is unbearable to my ears. I can't stand a manipulator and a fast talker. If I ever walk on a car lot and a guy go to da 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 da, oh, next. Because that's the way the enemy operates. Watch this. Put some word on it, Pastor. Romans 16 and 17 says this. It says, "And now I make one more appeal to you, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them." In other words, you got to be careful of people who influence you in certain manners. One translation says, "Mark them that cause division." In other words, almost highlight that person. You got to watch out for folk like that who always trying to sow negative seed in your life about other folk lives. Yeah, you may not be out here doing drugs and drinking every night and sleeping around and stuff like that, but you in everybody's business. How come you know all the gossip? And then spreading, well, this is what I heard. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says, "Be not deceived, for bad company corrupts good morals." God, now you got to catch this. I need you to catch this. In other words, the company you keep has the ability to subtly sow seed in your life that may go unrecognized. So instead of having, this is why I don't like being around folk that I can't let my hair around. If I can't pass gas around, y'all need to be around you. Yeah, like I don't pass gas or something. What's it? You get my point? Because the person you around has the ability to sow seed in you, and so you shouldn't have to watch everything. You should be comfortable around the people that you connect with. Amen? Yes. Because the Bible says this. Now, watch this now. "He who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." God, let me show you. Come on, respond to that. See. Thank you, Timothy Bourne. And when he gave this example, come on, walk with me. You got to walk with me. Now, whether you're married to this person, whether this is your BFF, whether it's somebody you kick with, see, when you walk with them, when you're in close proximity, what's on them rubs off on you, which means that who I walk with is who I win with. Yeah. See, a wolf don't walk with dogs, because you got to understand that whoever's in my pack determines my prosperity. So whatever on her life is going to get on my life, and whatever on my life gets on her life. So I got to be careful who I let close to me. There's some folk that you got to treat at arm's length, because there's something, there's maybe some great qualities about them, but there's some things on them I can't allow to get on. Oh, y'all got to catch this, because he that walks with wise will become wise. But you got to understand that it's not just wisdom that rubs off. It's some of them nasty habits. It's some of them nasty dispositions. It's some of them. Oh my God! Y'all know what I'm talking. Thank you so much, man. You see, so you got to be careful who you walk with. And see, this is why who you marry is important, because you can't win together and lose separately. My God. Proverbs, I want to say it's 6 and 27 says, "Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not get burned?" That's good. Well, I don't do none of the stuff she do. It's just like in high school, all the thieves walk with the thieves. The crowd that was going that were whoremongers, they walked with other whoremongers. So I said, okay, this is my friend. Well, you keep walking with them, whether you accept it or not, that folk gonna be calling you some of the same things they call, because what's on them have a tendency to rub off on you. That's why all your friends don't need to be broke. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me. Y'all not hearing me. Put some more word on it, Pastor. Psalms 1:1. The Bible says, blessed is he, or blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the unwicked or the wicked. One translation says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what it goes on to say is very profound. It says, nor standeth in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. But then it goes on to say that he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. What? A tree planted? Remember last week I gave you the example of these two apple trees, and the revelation was so profound when the guy made me buy another tree, even though I didn't really budget to buy two trees. He made me buy another tree because you got to understand that whatever you're close to will cross-pollinate with you. And so I needed both trees in order for the trees to grow. So what I'm near has an impact on my growth. Which means it matters what church I go to. It matters about the company that I keep. Come on, you didn't see me get one scripture up here and then go to give you my conjecture. I'm giving you scripture to support my points. And there are many times that I'll go into the didactic history of a text so that you can get a better understanding, so that you can apply it to your life. What I'm preaching here is life principles. Are you following me? So that means that I got to be careful what I connect with. Man, I've seen folk, man, and this trip is even with the fraternity or whatnot, even my own fraternity, but I'm not going to talk about my own fraternity. I'm going to talk about somebody else's fraternity. I'm going to talk about the Q-Dolls. I've seen quiet guys, they pledge, and now they walk around campus, head out, pants out, down, and I'm like, dude, you a nerd. How you all of a sudden, you a nasty dog now when Atomic Dog come on? Because your proximity to something can determine your prosperity or lack thereof. If you're the only one in your circle and the only one in your family that's prosperous, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be pulling from you. And now you constantly feeding stuff but not getting fed. Okay, y'all just missed that. Y'all just missed that. You see, so now I got to be critically careful. And, you know, this is why it's better to have a small circle than chill with a lot of squares. Yeah, okay, y'all. Let me keep going. Let me keep going, because y'all not feeling me. 1 Corinthians 15:11, Terrell says, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or reviler. Now, that's a party animal. Hold on, let me stop right there. It's not even in my notes. It just jumped out of the text at me because somebody needs this. There are times you didn't even want to go to the club. Girl, it's latest night before 11. Girl, come on, put on some. Girl, you just boring. There go the peer pressure. And that stuff you working on, that's the stuff you trying to save, and now you just spent $60 on a night that you could have saved $60. But because you connected with a reviler, a partier, or a drunkard, or a smoker, a weed head. Or a swindler, they go to thieves. It says, don't even eat with such a one. Now I'm in the word, this is not my conjecture. I am in the word of God.
Yes, you are.
So in other words, the scripture is replete with passages to say that who I connect with is who I enter covenant with, knowingly or unknowingly. Come on, this is why you got accessory before the fact, accessory after the fact. If I'm in the store with you and you get caught stealing, guess what? I'm going to jail too. If I'm riding with you and you're illegal, you got an illegal gun, you got a couple of sacks or something in your car, We all going to jail. You got to be careful because of my proximity. He said, do the trees have to be next to one another? He said, no, the trees don't have to be next to one another. They can be in another yard. But he says, well, what's going to happen is it got to be close enough because the birds and the bees will carry the pollen from one tree to another tree. So now I got to be critically careful because whether I know it or not, what's on them going to get on me.
Right.
Positive and negative.
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell you the testimonies. I'm telling you, I just got so many new people. I never forget when I was part of this really, really small church in the Delta or whatnot. And just everybody was poor. But it wasn't a poor because they couldn't do better. It was a poor because of the doctrine,
right.
The teaching. Because if you had some, you're going to hell.
Right. Okay.
Okay, anybody went to them type of churches? And so if you ever had something, people will look down on you until you lose it because they weren't satisfied till you look like them.
Yeah.
And so, man, here it is. My wife got a nursing degree, man. I got degrees. And all of a sudden, man, it's like our money just flying. Like, where is our money going? It's like, because what happens is because we were in covenant relationship with them, what was on the church came out on our lives. Oh, let me keep going. Are y'all learning something?
Yeah.
See, if you allow others to influence you with their wrong input, it ultimately impacts your outcome. Mm-hmm. And so you got to be careful of cross-pollinating with polluted people.
Right.
Yes.
That's the first thing. These are the people who hear but allow outside influences to cause them not to believe. And the devil doesn't always come with pitchforks and a red suit and a red dress. And sometimes he comes in the form of your BFF that you've known forever. But really, you've existentially, you've spiritually, you've emotionally outgrown, but you want to keep them in your life because they make you comfortable. Sometimes your growth should make other folk uncomfortable. So when they bring up certain conversations, you change and say, you know, that's not what I think about anymore. Come on now, somebody.
Yeah.
Let me keep on going. The second group are those who listen and rejoice, but they do not stick with the truth of the message, for they have no root. Second soil. And keep in mind that these are hearts now. This is the type of soil, and there are folk in here who have these types of soils. Or have had these type of souls and can relate. Pastor, what is it saying? Make it rich for me. The fact that they believe for a while fall away means that they only accept the fact of the word mentally, and then they reject it when the going gets rough. Mm-hmm. Pastor, break it on down for me. These are the folk who have quitting hearts.
Right.
These are the folk who start well but don't have the heart to finish. Let me break it down further. These are the folk you invested in but didn't stay long enough for you to reap a harvest on the seeds you sown. These are the folk who walked away from you because of your faults, but you were grown enough to look over theirs. Your investment meant more than their indiscretions. Put some word on it, Pastor. Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you don't grow weary. I don't know who word. That's a word for somebody who's hanging on right now. That's a word for somebody where it feels like that I'm at the end of my rope and I'm on the ledge. And Pastor, I need you to say something that helped talk me out. I gave you a word right there. Don't lose heart when the things get tough. Amen. It's not a time to go to the devil. Didn't you say for better or for worse? Just so happened it is for the worse. Didn't you say for richer or poor, in sickness and in health? Didn't you say that? Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you not grow weary. Now the message says this. It says, so let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. At the right time we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit.
Man.
Okay, let me break that down. There are some folk that appear like they're doing well even though they living bad.
Amen.
You're like, it seems like they having all the fun. It seems like they getting the blessing, they getting this, and it seems like nothing ever happened to them. But as soon as I do something wrong, it seems like all hell break loose.
Right.
It seemed like I get convicted and I feel bad when I sin and when I don't speak to somebody and when I cuss somebody, I feel bad. And it seemed like God is always riding my back. But it seemed like they can live and they can do this and they can do that and nothing ever happens to them. That's because God don't whoop other folk kids. And he chastens who he loves. And the reason why, because he know what you got, baby. There's seed on the inside of you, and you're growing somewhere. And you can't allow what other folk doing and what it seem like they getting away with. You got to understand, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So in due time, it's coming. That's the fifth season. Due time is the fifth season. If you could just hold on for a little while longer, amen. God is just, I feel prophetic right now. God is purging you from some stuff right now. He's preparing you to be able to handle the prosperity and what he has for you. But if he gave it to you too soon, you'll be like a bag with holes in it. It'll come out of you, amen. So right now you are in a constant state of preparation. But you can't lose heart. You can't give up too soon. My God. Luke 9 and 62 says this. It says, but Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Oh my God. In other words, you can't be starting stuff, man, and expect the blessing of God. I posted something yesterday. I need you to catch this. The unsuccessful go halfway and turn around. Yeah. The successful goes all the way. Right. They both travel the same distance, but only one reached the finish line. If you would have just took the same intensity, he could have finished the race. You could have finished the project. You could have finished the school. But now the time it took you for the turnaround, you could have used that to finish. Amen. You know, that's my prayer for you. It's to heal you from quitting. Jeremiah 3 says, I'll heal you from backsliding. I'll heal you from quitting. I'll heal you from giving up so fast. Amen. Amen. Soon as you hit a rough patch, you're ready to call it quits, and you're ready to quit the job, and you're ready to move to Tennessee, and you're ready to do that as soon as something happens. And you got to understand that your biggest areas of growth come at times of hardship. And it's frustrating dealing with a quitter because their pullout game is more potent than their staying power. Habit of quitting. And there's some folk in here that you need to review your life because you're like, man, I never finish anything. And you know, in this next project, I prophesy to you, you will finish. Amen. God's going to grace you to finish. Amen. So that you can look back and say it was good. Amen. I want to preach to some of y'all in here that say, you know what? I'm going to finish this time. Now, I know I've developed a habit of quitting, but not this time. God's going to grace me to finish whatever I put my hand to. Amen. Oh my God. We gotta go. We gotta roll. I gotta get you out before the Baptist crowd get to the restaurants. Quitters run from risk because risk means the possibility of disappointment.
Yeah.
In other words, because I feel failure, I'd rather quit and say it would have worked then stay and risk the possibility of it not working. But yet there's a certain amount of grace when things are tough. Do you realize that whatever you're doing, whether it's a business, whether it's a healthy marriage or whatever it is, do you realize that in those tough times you get the biggest reward? A couple of weeks ago, in fact, about 3 weeks ago, I guess, one of my barber, he tripping right now because I had to cancel the fishing trip. And they were supposed to go, and, you know, I was just going to do a day trip with them or whatnot. And the waves got up to about five, six feet. I said, you know what? We made the call. That's too much for them. It's too much for a novice fisherman. too much for them. So, you know, and I already had another one playing with another group of guys. And so we went down there on last Sunday, left right after service, and we were going to do an overnight trip. And an overnight trip, you get double the limit. You know, so if you can catch 12 snapper, we get 24. If you can catch this, you can catch this. And so now Sunday came, we're looking at the wave forecast, and the wave forecast 3 to 5. So I'm like, 3 to 5 foot waves now. I'm like, 3 to 5 foot waves, you'll make you sick. You see, so the Monday came around, the captain called and said, man, it's rough out there. He took us out onto the bluff and look over, and the waves hitting the rocks. So we decided, okay, we're just going to leave a little later to see what the weather does. And what we're going to do is we're just going to leave either late Monday night, or we're going to leave Tuesday morning or whatnot, and then still get our double lemon and stuff like that. So here we go. We ready or whatnot. Instead of Monday, we just did an inshore trip, you know, caught some speckled trout, cooked what we ate and all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? Had a good time. And then the Tuesday come around, it's time for us to go out into the deep sea, 60, 70 miles outside of the shore. It's time for us to go out. So we get on the boat, and I'm like, something ain't right about this, man. It's not him. It's rocking and fast and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, what's going on? But it was too late. We got about a good 6-7 miles. Keep in mind, we just canceled a trip because of 3 to 5s. We get out there now, it's 8-foot waves. They say, well, it's too late now. We out here. We might as well go ahead and do the doggone thing. And so we get out about 40, 50 miles out in the middle of the Gulf, and there's a consistent all day 7 to 8 foot roll. All day. All day. And the captain says something. He said, man, I'm glad it's like this. Because, you know, he's a white guy, and white people fun different from black people fun. So, I'm trying to process what he just said, because it's 8-foot waves out here. You understand what I'm saying? So, I'm looking at him because I'm surely thinking he's going to qualify what he just said, because that's kind of like a bungee jumping statement. You understand what I'm saying? So, then he said, I'm glad it's like this, because whenever it's like this, we catch the biggest fish. Do you realize, I know some of you saw on Facebook, that the grouper that we caught was about 150 pounds. We caught 3 of them. Oh, they were able to get it, huh? See, can you put the other one up? It may be sideways, but so they can really see how big it is. It was, if I held it up, it was just as tall as me and wide as me. Took 4 of us to get it in.
Oh, my God.
And I'm out here and I'm thinking, I said, I get it now. The greater the risk, the greater the reward. And some of y'all say you have faith and you say you Christians, but what do you do when the waves begin to rock the boat? Amen. See, the only thing that I can think about now is that I'm no longer afraid of the 8-footers, because I know that the high risk will yield a high reward. Come on now, somebody. And just because I lost some doesn't mean that I'm a loser. It means that I'm willing to sacrifice my pride in order to obtain the prize. So even if I step out and I fail, it's not that I'm a loser. It's not that I lost something. It means that I'm not afraid to take a chance. Read biographies, and I find out, man, you'll find out, man, I'm going back to the Kevin Hart book, man, he's traveling from Philadelphia to New York. Man, he got up to 6-7 times a week. I mean, he didn't even have a car. He's taking a bus, lost his girlfriend, everything, or whatnot, and he's sacrificing some stuff.
Yeah.
And many of you probably would never receive success because you're afraid to sacrifice. Man. He was telling the story of this one comedian who was sitting on the couch with his girlfriend, and Robin Harris come in. Some of y'all remember Robin Harris, right? Yeah. Small world. We don't die, we multiply. 30 and over, 30 and over. So the guy is sitting on the couch watching Robin Harris perform on TV in front of thousands. Keep in mind, the comedian was friends with Robin Harris. And his girlfriend has said, "Hey, babe, why ain't you on TV?" And he looked at her and said, "Because I'm with you. Because you require so much of my time, I can't get on my grind." This is why some of y'all been covered in relationships right now. You need to work on your money. You need to work on, oh, come on now, you need to work on your career. You ain't got time, because if I put so much time with you, baby, somebody caught that right there. And if you already in a relationship, you got to be grown enough to say, "Come on, baby, I need to let you go grind a little bit. I'm not going to smother you right now. I know you're on here. I know it's going to be late nights. And I know we're not going to be able to go to the movies like we used to. And I know we're not going to be able to kick it right now. I got to give you space, because I got to let you be great." Oh, God, I'm preaching to somebody in this place. I'm preaching that there are times when I have to go away 3-4 days in a row. I'm in a hotel working on messages, amen. Because I normally get my messages up a month to 6 weeks in advance. So that means I got to get away. And I got this motto from my pastor.
Jesus.
You see, and so just like Lady Vernon, she taught my wife to say, sometimes you got to give him space.
Yeah.
Because he needs space to think. He needs mountain time.
Yeah.
You see, and so in other words, I got to sacrifice some time sometimes with my family in order to make sure that I got vision. But you won't give them space to do nothing. You won't give us space to do nothing. And she say, why are he on TV and you not? Because I'm here with you. You requiring date night every other night. Oh, somebody felt that. Somebody, there was some oil on that right there, baby.
Yes, it was.
Y'all better hear me, amen. Notice the type of soul that the scripture indicates. It is the type of person whose heart is rocky. Now here, now this is good. This is good right here. I need you to catch this. I got two souls up here. Come on, who I got? Can I use somebody real quick? I already knew he was going to get up. Come on, let's give Mike a hand. Owner of Mike Town Comedy Club. Right here, I got some topsoil. You know what I'm saying? Some topsoil. And right here, I got what?
Some rocks.
I got some what?
Some rocks.
Okay, I got some seeds right here. I got squash. How many of y'all like squash? I got some tomato.
Yeah.
I got some eggplant.
Yeah.
Y'all like eggplant? Some of y'all lying. You got 4 kids. You like eggplant. Okay. And I got some cantaloupe.
Amazing. Priceless.
So, Mike, which one you want to plant?
Let's go with tomato.
Want to go with tomato? Okay. See, last week we had the nice example and stuff like that. You know, and I'm not going to actually put the gloves on and all this other stuff, but what I'm going to do is, you want tomato, and then we can crossbreed if you want to. No, you just want tomato. You like a tomato type of guy. So here we go. What we're going to do is, I want you to plant seed in the pot that you want. Which pot you gonna use?
Was that a trick question?
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you got the tool right there. You can use the tool now. You ain't got to get your hand dirty. He keep you from the country. So now I gotta ask you a question, Mike, owner of Mike Town Comedy Club.
Yes, sir.
I had 2 pots right here.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you choose this pot?
Because I know it's going to grow in the dirt versus the rocks.
You know it's going to grow in the dirt versus the rocks. Okay, you can sit down now. You can sit down now. See, he He's a very intelligent young brother. See, the reason why he didn't plant the seed in rocks is because he know that rocks don't give back. He planted in the topsoil because he know the topsoil has the nutrients to give the seed what it needs to grow. Yes. The rocks are not going to reciprocate. Right. When the Bible was talking about people with rocky hearts, it's talking about folk who are selfish. They'll take from you, but they won't give nothing back. Yeah. Do you know any rocky soil people? Am I in the house this morning? Amen. No matter what you give them, they not going to give anything back. They going to take. And you keep wondering why your seed not going to grow. It's because they don't have the capacity to give back. The rocks were never, you keep wondering why the relationship is not working. It's because, and it's not growing. It's because it doesn't have the capacity and it was never designed to give back. So now if you're one of those folk, you need to explore, you know what? I need to change some stuff.
Yes, sir.
Because you'll be frustrated because, see, the rocks can never do what it was never designed to do.
Right,
man. And you're frustrated because you're asking and requiring from certain people stuff that they don't have the capability to do.
Yeah. All right, Pastor. Yeah.
There's some of you who want your spouse to be your daddy, and there's some of you who want your spouse to be your mama, and there's some of you who want your spouse to be your sugar daddy. No, you got to get out and work. You see, and you're frustrated, but as long as you stay in the situation, as long as you stay in the situation and you plant seeds on rock, all you're doing is wasting seed.
That's right.
You're wasting time and you're wasting seed. You're wasting resources. You're wasting energy. You're wasting your love because now you're planning on something that will never give you back what you need in order to grow. And so you've been together 10 years and you're in the same situation, and you've been together 12 years and nothing is growing because it doesn't have the nutrients in order to make the seed you planted grow. And no matter what seed, whether it's eggplant, whether it's cantaloupe, or whether it's squash, no matter what, you tried to change this. You tried the marital counseling. You tried this because the bottom line is that, baby, you connected with the wrong pot. And if the person is not willing to change their contents, you got to change soils. My God. Until you change the contents of the pot or move where there's soil, you're going to continue to have the same problems. I got one more scripture. We got to go. It's 11:34. Psalms 1. Write this down. Psalms 1, stanza 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he doth meditate day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever it does, he prospers. Where you are planted matters. Last week I talked about the fig tree and the reason why the fig tree won't grow. It was in a soil that was not conducive to its growth. A seed has to be in an environment to be conducive to its growth. And the truth of the matter is some of you need to move some stuff around, and you need to plant your seed in different pots. And some of you right now need to, and there's nothing wrong with the seed, because as I talked about last week, the seed never loses power. It's only the condition of the soil that determines the growth. So now I got to review, where am I putting my time? Am I putting my time in a job and where I can never grow? Am I putting my time in an opportunity that will not yield an outcome that's favorable and beneficial to all parties? Yeah. What am I doing? What am I doing with my talents? Could you be in a situation where now your seed is on rocks and now you're feeding something and getting frustrated that it won't grow, but it's your fault for wasting the seed? If you're going to grow, it's important that not only you examine where you're planting your seed, but you need to examine the type of soil you have. Because it's not that God ain't planting seed in your life. It could be that right now your heart is rocky. It could be right now that there are some outside influences that every time you get ready to step out in faith and somebody tell you, no, it's not going to work, and somebody tell you that that's not right, and somebody tell you that, I just don't know about that. and you allowed the devil, and it says because of the work of the devil is the reason why some hear and they don't believe. It's because you're around folk with little faith. You're around boat huggers, and I've never allowed people who don't have fruit to tell me where I need to plant. And you keep allowing folk who never took the step outside the boat to determine your steps. If you're gonna grow, and we're gonna grow this summer, and I wanna put everything I got in you, it's important that you examine yourselves. This is not one that I need you to point at your spouse. It's one where you need to examine the contents of your heart, because some of you got good soil, and then there's some of you right now is rocky because there's some things that cause you to change over a period of time, and now you set up rocks in your heart. And there's some, as we'll talk about in a little, we'll talk about the thorns. You have thorny hearts, and it's important for you to examine yourself, because God is planting seed, and it's up to you whether or not it grows. Amen. Everybody stand to your feet. Everybody stand to your feet. Did anybody get something out of that message? Yes, yes, something. Did you get something? Did you get something out of that message, those of you who are listening to me live? I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to bow your head, and I'm just going to talk for about 2 minutes, and I need you to hear me. I need you to hear me clear. The people who are moving are those who are assigned to move. They're assigned to move to that particular location because they're part of our dream team. I want you to grab somebody by the hand right now. Come on, let's get connected. Somebody here right now. The truth of the matter is, you're in the wrong soil. You're in a soil that consists of the world. This soil, watch this, its destination is hell. It's time for you to change pots. It's time for you to move from this soil that's going to lead to hell to a soil that leads to heaven. And but in order for that to happen, you got to plant Jesus in your heart. He says that the way that you get planted and whether to plant him in your heart is to accept, believe, and confess him as your Savior. I'm not saying whether you've been baptized or whatnot. There's some of you right now who've been baptized at 8, 9, 10 years old, and you never knew the meaning of receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me give you a quick way to determine. Are you really unsure about whether you would spend your destination if somebody right now came and God forbid something happened to you, and God forbid something happened to you, so something just happened spontaneously, you didn't expect to die. No one just really expects to die. Where would you go? Where would you make eternity? Would you make heaven your home, or you're not sure? If you're not sure or you don't know, I want you to squeeze that person's hand right now. There's greater. There's greater. God is offering salvation. Salvation in the Greek is sozo, nothing missing, nothing lacking. There's so many things you've been grabbing for, but it's not available to you because you're in the wrong soil. You're in the wrong soil. Squeeze that person's hand right now if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't leave here today, brother. Don't leave here today, sister, without knowing that you had an opportunity to receive. The second invitation I want to give somebody is say, Pastor, I'm born again, but you know the truth of the matter is that over time, my topsoil is not as fertile as it needs to be. It's because I haven't cultivated it with the Word of God, and I haven't cultivated it with worship, and I haven't cultivated it with fellowship. And as a result, and to be honest with you, Pastor, my soil is not as potent as it used to be. And in fact, I got a lot of rocks and thorns and all types of stuff in my heart right now. And it's time for me to get back into the right space, into the right place with God. It's time for me to refocus so I can refire. If that's you, I want you to squeeze that person's hand right now to say, Pastor, I need you to pray with me. That's all. I don't need to know the specifics of your problem. I just want to pray with you that you get back refocused so that you can refire. Squeeze that person's hand right now. I want to, there's somebody here who has the rocky soil, and you've been quitting everything, and I want to pray and stand in agreement with you that God would heal you from backsliding, that he would heal you from quitting, and that he would heal you from turning around, and that he would give you the grace to finish. I want to pray with somebody right now. Today is your day to get home. Squeeze that person's hand right now. I'm talking to you. Yep, you too. Then there's somebody else here to say, you know what, man, this is crazy. Every time I come here, man, I get blessed by the word. Some of you, the truth of the matter is you have commitment issues. You have commitment.